Rich Zeoli.
Of course, the question is there a hunt on for conservatives right now? Is it open season on conservative thought? That is the question that we will face in this next half hour, as well as the love gov, Andrew Cuomo, and his obsession with hands, hand size. Former aide Charlotte Bennett telling investigators Cuomo has a preoccupation with his hand size. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. But first, the question, of course, is, will the FBI use its power to look into chats, online chats, and then send conservatives to prison? I want to welcome to the program. James Bovard is a USA Today columnist. He's an author. He's also a guy who defends liberty at every turn, and he's been speaking out against this kind of stuff for a long time. Hey, James, thanks for joining me here in Philadelphia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Rich. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of your writing and your work, and this latest piece that you wrote at Conservative, theamericanconservative.com, is no exception. You talk about how the feds now are really looking at conservatives and their tweets, especially after the events of January 6th at the Capitol building.
Yeah, there's a lot of targeting going on. The FBI is fanning out. The chief of the FBI, Christopher Wray, has said that the clash at the Capitol was a case of terrorism, and so the FBI wants to get a bigger budget. They want to hire more agents, and they know how to make Congress happy. And so they're going out to get more scalps. And in this case, it's scalps from conservatives who have been who were upset about the election, or who have been outspoken, or who were even near the site of the Capitol on January 6th.
Conservative author, you write from your piece, conservative author Candace Owens tweeted on March 3rd, about 10 of my friends who attended Trump's speech but did not go to the Capitol building have had the FBI turn up at their door to ask him why they went to D.C. in the first place. Our FBI is trying to scare conservatives against ever gathering in the future.
Yeah, there's a lot of intimidation going on. This is what the FBI has done oftentimes in the past. But people don't realize it's a whole lot more dangerous from a legal perspective than what it might seem, because the FBI can show up, talk to you for 15 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, and then say, well, thanks. And then an FBI agent goes back to his office, and the next day or the next week he writes up a memo called a Form 302. And in that memo, the FBI agent says, this person said A, B, C, D, and the FBI doesn't do tape recordings, and so it's simply the FBI's word of what somebody said. Unfortunately, federal judges and juries tend to defer to that, and there have been a lot of cases where the FBI agents fabricated charges or sentences that people said and used that to crucify them legally. Michael Flynn is the clearest case.
Now, the federal false statements law, which is very scary, and this is important, right? I mean, I don't have to be under oath here. I could just be talking to them, right?
Right. I mean, the classic case on this, Supreme Court heard this back in 1998, was there was a union official who had been was accused of taking a small bribe. FBI agent shows up on his doorstep, asks him if he took a bribe. He says no. One word, that's it. FBI agent didn't warn him that he could be prosecuted, so on and so forth. So, and it was a minor bribe, but it was a misdemeanor, because he said that one word to an FBI agent, he was prosecuted by the feds and convicted on a felony. And it was interesting. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was basically outraged by this. She said it was a government generation of a crime. And this is really relevant to a lot of the conservative activists and other activists, libertarians, liberals, leftists. It goes across the board, and it's easy for the government to come in and generate a crime if they simply start asking you a bunch of questions. And if you hedge your haul, or if your memory isn't perfect, or if they choose to fabricate your answer, you're up the creek without a paddle.
Well, I think a good example of that, as you mentioned, James Bovard, is Michael Flynn. And you write about that in your piece at the American Conservative. You say, you know, the FBI agents showed up under the guise of just, they were just going to have a chat with him at the White House. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is Flynn was a Trump's first national security advisor. And the FBI wanted to get him. The FBI was gung-ho on their Russian Russiagate at that point, based on a bunch of fabricated evidence that they were using with the FISA court. But so the two FBI agents show up, and they sit down. They have a talk with him. And both the agents thought after that chat that Flynn had not lied. However, there was one of the agents went back and did a rewrite of the other agent's memo, the 302 form, and also got some help from his FBI mistress to make Flynn sound more culpable. So what you have, the FBI did not make a recording, and then there was some switcheroos because the FBI changed the dates on this. The FBI later said that they had lost the original 302 write-up on the interview. So what you had was the other FBI agents sitting down with this one FBI agent who hated Trump and asking him 6 months later, so what did Michael Flynn say? That's what they used to prosecute him on. It was a complete crock of nonsense, but they dragged Flynn through the dirt for years based on this complete travesty of due process.
And it's happened to other people that maybe we are not as familiar, household names, but tell us about Noor Salman, if I'm saying that name right.
I have no idea if you're saying it right, but I recognize it. Yeah. This is the lady. She was the widow of the guy who killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando back in 2016. She was charged with material support of a foreign terrorist group, and she was also charged with lying to the FBI about knowing her husband was planning that attack. So what the FBI does is pull her aside and interrogate her for 18 hours. There was no lawyer. There was no video recording. They were browbeating her. She had recently had a baby with her late husband, and the FBI was threatening to take custody of her baby unless she signed a confession. She finally did, and so the FBI has her victory lap in federal court. But then it turns out that there were so many falsehoods that the FBI wrote in her confession that the entire case collapsed. But this is a telltale case as well, because back when this first happened, FBI Chief James Comey promised to be transparent and open with the American people. It wasn't until 2 years later that we learned that the father of the guy who did the mass murder at that nightclub was a long-term FBI informant. And the FBI had talked to this guy who did the mass murder and thought he was lying, but maybe because his father was an FBI informant, that guy, the mass killer was not brought in before he unleashed carnage. So the FBI looks a hell of a lot worse than what its image was in public. And this is one more reason. It's like, why are we deferring to these people?
Yeah, and the reason why, and again, James Bovard is my guest. He's the author of Lost Rights, Attention Deficit Democracy, and Public Policy Hooligan. He's a USA Today columnist. He's on Twitter at Jim Bovard. This is important because, it's, the goal here is not the trash FBI agents. The goal here is transparency. The goal here is to ensure that our rights are protected. And a simple way to do that is to videotape interrogations, for example, which was a rule that was put out, but it's largely ignored right now in the Department of Justice, right?
Yes, this is something which Attorney General Eric Holder pushed for in 2014. Holder issued guidance. It didn't have much teeth, besides that, the FBI has a long history of ignoring Attorney General guidance. People have to realize that the reason the FBI doesn't videotape or audiotape these interviews is because it maximizes their arbitrary power over American citizens. Because the FBI can go to court, can claim this, can claim that, can browbeat people into confessions or plea bargains simply by saying, well, we have a memo here that says that you said this. Well, what's the evidence? It's written in the memo. I mean, this is a complete travesty of due process.
The memo is the evidence itself. Now, conservatives have to be very concerned right now because, and I think you point this out very, very well. You write, any conservative who has not been hibernating since last October recognizes that the Biden administration and congressional Democrats are pushing federal agencies to crack down far and wide on their political opposition. Obviously, they've labeled people on January 6th as domestic terrorists.
Right. And, you know, there are certainly there were people who did violent assaults on Capitol Police on January 6th. I'm all in favor of prosecuting them vigorously. But, for instance, the acting chief of the Capitol Police said there were tens of thousands of terrorists on January 6th. Basically, anybody who walked down the mall towards the Capitol after listening to Trump, well, that person should be treated as a terrorist. This is nonsense. This is classifying people as terrorists based on their political beliefs. And this is a huge danger in this country. And, you know, much of the media has already done this. I mean, if you're a Trump supporter and you're a gun owner, well, you know, hey, you know, you're probably a bad person. But a lot of people I know fit that category.
Well, listen, I appreciate you. You are such an ardent defender of civil liberties and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I thank you for that. Keep up the good work. I'll post a link to your latest piece at the American Conservative. And of course, we'll catch you at USA Today as well and on Twitter at Jim Bovard. Hey, Jim, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
The Rich Cioli Show.